look tonight in 2 Peter, and we're going to read to you the first four verses. And we've titled this message, God's Precious Things. God's Precious Things. And the word precious is actually mentioned a couple of times in these four verses. But tonight we're just going to share with you just a few thoughts about what we have in Christ and the precious things that we do have when it comes to our salvation, when it comes to our Christian life. And we want to begin reading with verse 1 of 2 Peter chapter 1. And the Bible says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And our focus tonight is God's precious things. Let's pray. Father, thank you for a good day that you've blessed us with. We thank you for your presence. And now, Lord, we just pray that you'll help us tonight. Help us to focus and help us to be reminded of your provisions, the things that you've done, what's been accomplished, to help us be on that battlefield that we shared this morning. Father, we know through the scriptures and through your presence that you love us. We know by Jesus Christ dying on the cross that you love us. And now, Lord, I just pray that you'll help us to be those servants that you would have us to be, that you would be pleased with, that someone would come to know Christ. Help us tonight, Lord, to focus on the things that you've given to us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Many years ago, I guess it's been about somewhere around 34 years ago, Darla and I went with a couple of friends to Washington, D.C. First time I've ever been, and I hadn't been back. Just hadn't gone there. but we went, and we were going to do some sightseeing, and then we were going to come back, and we were going to stay with my sister at the time, who lived in Williamsburg, but we went to Washington, D.C., and we saw several things. We saw several monuments. We saw, I guess it was the thing probably that I remember the most on our tour was the wall that's there in Washington, and with all the names of soldiers that had died in war. And when we stepped down into the place, it was kind of a sidewalk that you walked down. It was very, very humbling. It was very quiet, and we could see people that would take paper, and they would take a pencil, and they would kind of trace out the names. And it was very, very humbling, very sobering to think about all those names and the fact that they died for freedom. But we continued our tour, and we went into the Smithsonian. And we didn't know that that those monuments and those areas, this is kind of how naive we were at a young age, but we didn't know that those monuments and those places, museums, they kept banker's hours because they closed at 5 o'clock every day. And we got in the Smithsonian probably about 4:15, so we didn't have long. But there were several things that we heard was in there. And so we went in and we tried to find those particular items. And there was one thing that was noticed, that in this museum, there were a lot of things that were under lock and key, if you will. They had thick, and I'm assuming it was glass, but whatever it was, there was this thick protection because they didn't want this item to be destroyed or taken. And so there was a protection put around these items. And so we weren't there very long, but these items displayed and were very secure because of the high value of the things and the fact that it couldn't be replaced. Some of these items couldn't be replaced. And some would call these precious items, because they couldn't be replaced. Well, as a believer, as a Christian, there are things which should be precious to us that should obtain high value, and these precious things that the Scripture talks about. And, you know, the material things will one day perish. You know, I think about the things that were in these museums, and one day these things are going to perish. And one day, unless the Lord Jesus comes back, which we look for Him every day, but one day most people, as the generations continue, won't even know what some of these items are. And the items that are there will only be read about as to their history, provided they don't try to change it. But, in other words, the material things are going to perish or belong to someone else. Believers are given some precious things that will never perish. Believers are given some things that should encourage us and that should help us. So tonight I want to share with you just a few thoughts before we go home, and of these precious things. And the first thing that I want to make mention, and the first thing that I want to say, is this. Suffering is precious for a believer. Now, that's a hard thing to think about, and that is a hard thing to swallow, but the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible tells us that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than the gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, we're thinking of these sufferings as trials. Trials in your life. And we can go back to our own life, and you can look at your life, and I can look at my life, and we can say, we've had some trials in our life. And it's a little different for each one of us, but it's still trials. It's something that we've had to go through. And no one likes trials. I don't know anybody that wants to get up in the morning and say, I think I want to have a trial today. But yet, it's going to happen at some point in our life. No one likes trials. No one likes the pressures of life and the pressures that a trial brings. No one likes difficulties and having to endure difficulties. But Paul says that trials are more precious than gold that will perish. And why are these trials so precious? Well, Well, there's four things about these trials that we can say that trials helps us understand. Trials helps us to get through just a little easier. And there's a few verses that I want to turn to tonight that kind of pinpoints some of these trials and some of the helps, maybe I should say, that these trials bring. And the first thing is very, it's a verse that we can relate to. It's a verse that we have quoted, but it's this. Through trials, Jesus is always with us. Jesus is always with us. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So these trials that we go through that Paul calls precious is a remembrance that as we go through them, we're not alone. We're not alone as we go through these trials. We have an understanding that we have helped through these trials. And you can relate and I can relate the fact that when we've gone through trials, we have had help going through these trials. And I can echo that there's been some trials that I've gone through that I'm grateful that I've gone through them after the fact because they have helped me go forward. They have helped me go forward. So the first thing is the fact that we learn from these trials and we grow from these trials is the fact that Jesus is always with us. But also another thing is that trials help us grow. Trials help us grow. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, for our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. It helps us grow. And I don't know about you, but sometimes growing pains hurt. Growing pains hurt. When a child is growing up, there's things that a child goes through and that the body goes through that's called growing pains. Well, for a Christian and for a believer, sometimes we have growing pains. Growing pains. But as we go through these growing pains, we understand and we realize and we learn that that our Savior is the one that we can trust. Our Savior is the one that we can find help from. Our Savior is the one that we focus on. And our Savior is the one that we look to as we go through these trials. You see, if it wasn't for trials, I wonder if we would focus on Jesus the way we do through trials. We pray more. We read more. We spend time with Him more a lot of times when we go through these trials because the trial that we're going through is what we're focusing on. And He helps us to get through these trials. So Jesus is always with us. It helps us to grow. And there's something else that we think about, and that's this. There's a better day coming. As we go through trials, we understand as believers that there is a better day coming. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That tells us that there's better days ahead. There's better days ahead. There's things that we can look forward to. And as we grow older, and every day we grow older, but as we grow older, we understand and we realize that as we grow older, that means heaven's just a little bit closer. And so better days are coming. There's going to be one day that we're not going to have to worry about the things and the cares of this life because we're going to be in eternity with Jesus. You see, the trials that we go through are precious. And in fourth, even when trials or even when times are bad, God is still good. Amen. Even when trials are bad, God is still good. We find this in Job chapter 2, or Job chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, the Bible says, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped." And this is what he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither, for the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job went through a lot of things. Job lost his health. Job lost his wealth. Job lost his family. And in some ways, Job lost his wife. Now his wife was still there, but she told him, "Why don't you curse God and die?" What kind of support is that? Job was getting it from all angles. But Job realized that no matter what the trial was, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we think about these precious trials that we go through. And trials helps us. And I want us to consider these things. The disciples would have never knew Jesus could walk on the water had it not been for the storm. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have never had known God would come into the fire and come to their aid if it wasn't for the fire. Noah would have never known God, or Noah would have never known God would keep him and his family safe if it wasn't for the flood. Mary and Martha would have never known Jesus could raise from the dead had Lazarus not died. The 5,000 would have never known Jesus could feed the multitude if they wouldn't have been hungry. You see, all those things, and there could have been many others, but those are the ones that I were thinking about, and those are the ones, and think about it. Those 5,000, that Jesus fed, had it not been for their hunger pains, they would never sit down to eat. You see, all these things and all these trials that we go through and all these things are precious because they point us to Jesus. They point us to Jesus. Now we go on tonight, and Peter speaks of some precious substance. Some precious substance. And I read to you another verse in Peter chapter 1. Peter chapter 1 verse 19. The Bible says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Thank God for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You see, it's the price that was paid. It was the price that was paid. His blood was shed for you and for me. It is proof that God loves us. It is proof that God loves us. Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And we thank God for the cross and the sacrifice that was made, but I thank God for the shed blood of Jesus Christ and what the shed blood does for you and for me. And we do call his shed blood precious. Precious. His blood must never be left out. It should never be left out. Just like praying in Jesus' name. You know, we can have a nice prayer that sounds good, and we can pray and we can do all those things, but we must always pray in Jesus' name. And for us to have salvation, it took the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we must have that shed blood, and he shed it for you and for me. You see, that's why it's precious. precious. So we have precious trials. We have precious substance, which is the blood of Jesus. And then Peter also speaks of a precious Savior. Precious Savior. Again, looking in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. The Bible says, "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, that he that believeth on him should not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone, the builder, is disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." So Jesus is precious. We have a precious Savior. A precious Savior. Precious things hold great value. Precious things hold great value. And Jesus is valuable to those who believe. Jesus is valuable to those who believe. I don't know about you, but I get very bothered and very upset when someone uses the Lord's name in vain. It just bothers me. It's wrong. And when I hear someone say that, I just cringe. And you think to yourself, don't you realize what you're doing? Don't you realize what you're doing? You see, Jesus is valuable to all believers. And this is why. Jesus loves us. Jesus cares about us. He understands our needs. He's always with us. Because he paid the price to save us. Paid the price to save us. John chapter 15, verse 13. And this verse was quoted this morning, but I'll quote it again tonight. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus Christ died on the cross, shed his blood, and our hope is in Jesus Christ. When you visit someone's bedside and they're very weak and it doesn't seem like they're going to live much longer, and when you visit their bedside and you know they know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, you know there's a better day ahead for them. It can be just a few moments, a few hours. And I know in my own experience of some of my loved ones, I remember visiting my grandma, and when my grandmother was battling cancer, and at the time I was working and my days off was Wednesday, I would be off on Wednesday and Sunday, and I remember probably the last couple of months that she was living, I would go see her every Wednesday. And I would drive to Asheville every Wednesday morning and come home every Wednesday night, and I would spend time with her. And you know, there towards the end, she was struggling. She was struggling to breathe. She was struggling with life. But I knew that she accepted Christ. And I knew that better days were ahead. And it wasn't anything that she did. She made mistakes in her life just like you and I did or do. But I knew it was because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I knew it was because she accepted Christ one day. You see, that's where our hope is. Our hope is not in things that we do. Our hope is not in us. But our hope is solely on Jesus Christ. Because we could never do enough. We could never do enough to earn any merit to be able to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. You know, we're not worthy. But Jesus makes us worthy. He makes us worthy. We can't put a price on that. You see, that's why He's valuable. We can't put a price on that. The value of Jesus is held in every generation. He's just as valuable today as He was to the first believers. He's held His value. And He'll be just as valuable to the generations that are after us. If we're still here, if this world's still here. I've always enjoyed classic cars. And I've always enjoyed seeing cars when they're fixed up. I enjoy seeing them go down the road. And we talk about cars and we talk about the different just the different styles and those type of things. But I was talking to a person, I don't know, it's been a number of years ago. And I was talking to a person that made a whole lot of sense. And he said, as the generations continue, you would think that an automobile that's been fully restored would hold its value. You would think that because they're very valuable now. But he said, as generations continue, and as generations grow, those that are coming after us won't care anything about those cars in yesteryear. And you even see that today. You even see that today. When I was growing up, the value in having a car, I mean, you kept it clean. I mean, that's what you did. On Saturdays, you would clean up your car or your pickup. And then you would go out on Saturday night, and you would keep it clean, and you would take care of it. But you can look and you can see how the generations have changed. I don't even think some of the teenagers that drive today, their cars even sound good. I don't even like that sound. But my point is, things like that doesn't hold value unless you care about whatever it is that you've restored. But when you're gone, will anyone else think that that car or whatever it is that you've restored hold any value? Probably not. But let me tell you something that does hold value, that will be valuable no matter what generation it is, and that is none other than Jesus Christ and His shed blood. And you see, when we receive Him as our Savior, then He's valuable to us, He's real to us, and we want the next generation to see that and to feel that and to experience that. And we want the generation after that to feel it, to experience it, and to understand it. You see, that's why Jesus Christ is so valuable. He's precious. And then lastly tonight, we have a precious salvation. We have a precious salvation. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, towards the end of that verse, it says, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Our salvation is precious. It's precious because it's free to us, but it cost Him everything. It's precious to us because it's complete. We don't need to do anything else. We don't need to do anything else. The day that we said yes to Jesus to come into my heart and save me, there's nothing else that we need to do. Our salvation is complete. It's sad to think there's teachings out there that says it won't last. Let me tell you something. Based upon what the Scripture tells us, Jesus doesn't do anything halfway. It doesn't have to be repeated. Jesus did it all for you and for me. It's complete. And then lastly, it's eternal. It's eternal. What we have today in Jesus Christ will last us through all eternity because it's based upon what He did. And nothing that we did other than receive that gift. You know, if you give someone a gift and you lay it there on the table and you say, here, I want to give this to you. It can be pretty. It can look nice. The wrapping can look nice. But until that person picks it up, until that person opens it, until that person accepts it, it's just going to sit there. When we received Christ as our personal Savior and we took it and we embraced it and Jesus came into our heart, we received Him as our personal Savior. We accepted Him. And for that, our salvation is precious. It's precious. God's precious things, and there could be so many more that we can think of tonight about how precious God's things are. So I give you a challenge tonight as you go home. Before you go to bed tonight, I want you to think of one thing that God has done for you that you can call precious. There's a whole list that we could name. We've already talked about salvation. We've already talked about trials. We've already talked about these things that we just through the message. But what is one thing that God has helped you with that you can say, thank you, Lord, for the precious things that you've given me? Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for our time together. And Lord, we do call these things precious. Lord, trials are hard. Trials are difficult. But Lord, you help us through them. And you help us grow. And you help us sustain. And you help us through them. And so, Father, I pray that you'll encourage us tonight to not focus on the difficult things, the worldly things, the things that's happening around us, but help us to focus on the precious things. The precious things that count. The precious things that matter. The precious things that are real. The things that you've given us. Help us to focus on those things tonight. And Lord, I believe that we'll be stronger Christians and we'll have joy in our heart because of what you've done. Lord, as we have this invitation tonight, if you've spoken to someone's heart today, Lord, I pray that they'll come and talk to you. And we thank you for salvation. We thank you for the finished work on Calvary. We thank you for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you'll bless this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.